If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Hebrews. I would like to read from Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm sure that at least most of what's on my heart tonight, I'm sure that you're familiar with this, and yet I feel that this is what God would have us to study. One of the great blessings that a man of God has is that when he studies and the Spirit of God lets him know what God would have him to study, then that settles it. It doesn't make any difference what else you might want to preach or what other things you've seen that are pretty. If God just burdens your heart and you know it's the Spirit of God leading, then that's all that you can preach. So I just ask you to pray that God will bless us tonight, that as we hear the Word of God, that we would hear it afresh and that it would have special meaning in our lives. And I think that maybe another reason that God would have us look at this portion of God's Word is for you to know where in the Bible these things are found, so that you can share this truth with other people. I think that, I believe it was last Sunday morning that we tried to study that one of the purposes that God has given us the Word of God for is for us to learn the Word of God so that we can then teach other people. So I really believe that's one of the main reasons God is speaking this portion of His Word to us tonight, is for us to know exactly what these Scriptures are and where they're found, so that we can also then go and share this with other people, as well as it having a profound effect in our lives. The subject that's on my heart tonight is the subject of being content or being satisfied. To really be satisfied and really be content is a tremendous blessing. I just think it's a wonderful blessing to be able to say, I have enough. As far as material worldly goods are concerned, to be able to say, I have enough. I have all that I need. I don't need anything else. It's a great blessing. It's a great blessing to be able to say that. It's a great blessing to be able to feel that. And it's a great blessing that God has been so good to us that we do have all that we need. And everybody here in this building, I hope that we know and understand that we do have all that we need. We have more than what we need. We need to thank God for what He's given to us. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 13, I want to read verses 5 and 6. The Word of God says, let your conversation, that word conversation is not just talking, but your manner of life. Let your conversation or your manner of life be without covetousness. Now, if covetousness is part of our lives, then probably covetousness infiltrates each of our hearts and minds from time to time. If covetousness is not part of our life, if it is part of our lives, that shows that we're not content. You can't be covetous and content at the same time. The Word of God first begins by saying, now, let your manner of life be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For He saith, that is, God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now, I just want to pause here and say that if you didn't have anything in this world, if you didn't have a home, if you didn't have any food, if you didn't have anything else, one thing you do have is what God says in this verse of Scripture. He says, let us be content with such things as ye have. Now, what is it that we have that He identifies in this verse of Scripture? That God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what we have. We have that promise from God. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether I have food or clothing or shelter, God is with me, and God will always provide for His people. So we need to be content with such things as we have. And you can look at that and say, well, I need to be content with everything I already have in a material way. But the one thing we all have is that God says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So he says in the 5th verse, be content, let your manner of life be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Now, Brethren, it is not natural to be content. Does everybody know that? It is against human nature to be content. It is not part of the nature of man to ever be content. In fact, if you read and study in the book of Proverbs, you'll find repeatedly that the Word of God declares that the eye is never content, the eye is never satisfied, and that those that love money, that they are never satisfied. That specific statement is made in the Scripture is that they that love silver shall never be satisfied. If you love money, you'll never be satisfied with money. You can never get enough. You'll never find anybody that loves money, and money is not the root of all evil, but what is the root of all evil? The Bible says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And if you love money, if you are covetous, you will never be satisfied as long as covetousness is part of your life. So you need to get rid of covetousness. Let your life or your manner of life be without covetousness. Get rid of covetousness. Pray that God will help you not to be covetousness, to be covetous, and to be, pray that God will help you to be content with such things as you have. Now, you remember in Philippians 4:11, all of you know this verse by heart. The Apostle Paul says, I have, what's the next word there? I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Do you have to learn to be content? You see, again, when Paul says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content, he says, I've learned to be abased, I've learned to be without anything, and I have learned to abound. I've learned how to live when I have nothing, and I've learned how to live when I have everything. Now, brethren, sometimes in our lives we go up and down financially, don't we? There are times in our lives that we seem to have quite a bit, and then there are times it looks like everything is going bad and we lose a lot that we have. But we need to learn to be content. If you're abounding, then you need to learn how to abound. Now, what does that mean to learn how to abound? It means that when you are abounding, you better be faithful to be giving to a lot of other people. You need to learn how to abound. I think that's one of the biggest problems we have in America today is that we have not learned how to abound. We haven't learned how to be abased. We haven't learned how to be without things because we haven't been without very much. But we haven't learned how to abound because even though God has given us so much, we don't know what to do with so much that He's given to us. So we need to learn what Paul learned when he says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. To be content. To really and truthfully to be content. And another word that goes along with that is to be satisfied. And we're going to be looking at those two words tonight in the Word of God. To be satisfied. To really be satisfied in our lives. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Back up just a few pages in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, the Word of God again is talking about the importance of being content. And it gives the negative. It says, now, if you're not going to be content, you need to understand what the result will be. Let me just ask you this question. Don't raise your hand, but if Jesus Christ were to ask you tonight, are you really content? Are you really satisfied? What do you think your answer would be? Do you think that deep down in your soul that you are completely satisfied? That you are completely content. Do you think that in your life that there is nothing that you are coveting right now? Do you think that you are completely satisfied with everything that you have and that you want no more, but you are completely satisfied with this world's goods? Are you completely satisfied? Are you content? And if you're not, we need to understand what the consequences are of not being content. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6, the Word of God says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Have you ever seen anybody that was godly, that was living a godly life, and they were content with the things that they have? Did you know that's one of the wisest human beings on the face of this earth is somebody that is godly, living a godly life, and they are content with what things they have. Godliness with contentment is, what are the last two words there? It is great gain. gain. It's extremely important. It's something more valuable than all the money in the world. If you can be godly, live a godly life, and be content with the things that you have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Now look at the next verse. For, and all of you know this verse, all of you know what it says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Is that hard for us to remember? The older you get, the more you begin to remember and really realize this verse is true. That you brought nothing into this world and you can take nothing out. You're not going to leave this world with anything that you've accumulated. Doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter how many other things you have. You're going to have to give it all up. Every material thing that you own today, you're going to have to give it up. Either before death or at death, you're going to have to give up everything. We brought nothing into this world and we'll take nothing out. How old are you today? Just think in your mind how old you are. How much of your life have you already lived? I was thinking about that question as I was getting dressed for church tonight. I'm almost 60 years old. If I live to be 70... that means I'm 6/7 of my life along. Do you understand that? In other words, if you take a calendar of 12 months and say that's a lifespan is 12 months, you know what month I'm in already? I'm in about the month of what? About the month of November. It's about November. Now, if it's in November, is December pretty close around the corner? And the point I'm trying to get across is, I don't have much longer, and I'm talking about at best, I don't have much longer, and you don't have much longer, and I need to go ahead and realize and remember and live like I brought nothing into this world, and I will leave with nothing, and therefore, I ought to share what I have with other people. And so he says, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and we'll take nothing out. Brother Ken, you going to leave here with anything? When you leave here, it's going to be all left behind. He says in verse 8, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. And what's he talking about when he says now, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content? You know what I'm content with? Well, if I've got a house, a car, a truck, I've got a boat, I've got a four-wheeler, I've got a trailer to pull the four-wheeler on, I've got, do you follow what I'm doing? If I am short a four-wheeler, if I don't have a four-wheeler, you know what I'm doing?
Looking for one.
If I don't have a boat, you know what I'm doing? I'm looking for one. If I don't have a truck, you know what I'm doing? I'm looking for one. And so it's easier, I think, for some of us to say, now I'm content, but I'm content because I have way beyond what anybody ought to have. What does God say I need to be content with? And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Be content with nothing but the necessities of life. That's what we need to learn to do, is to really be content. I have trouble being content if I don't have the things I want. I need to learn to be content. That's what Paul had to do. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And I would ask you to pray for me, and I'll be praying for you, and we need to pray for each other that we can all learn to be content. If we can learn to be content with food and raiment, we can get along with a lot less than what we presently have, and we can live a lot happier life. We can live a life full of more service to God and God's people, can't we? Can you give more, and can I give more to help those that are really in need? I think that all of us can. He says in verse 9, what if I don't be content? What if I'm not content? What if I'm not satisfied with food and raiment? Verse 9, he says, but they that will be rich. How many of you think you have sought to be rich? Hold your hand up if you think you have sought to be rich. Now, you're honest. You know, what do we think of as rich today? Describe a rich person. Brother Travis, describe somebody that's rich. How much money do they probably have? The way we think of. I'm talking about the way we think of a rich person. You're going to have to be a what? A millionaire. Right. Now, when I think of a rich person, and when we, as human beings and as children of God, we think of, when God talks about They that will be rich, the Bible says here, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. And we look around at other people. How many of you know other people that they're seeking after riches, they're running after other things, and we think of them when we read the Word of God, and the Word of God says, now they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. I typically think about other people that are out there running after things instead of thinking about me. And I pray that God will help me to understand this is not talking about somebody else. This is talking about me. This is talking about you. That I need to make some major changes. All of us need to make changes in our lives and learn to be content with such things as we have. And then he says in verse 10, that you all know by heart, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Are there children of God that have erred from the faith because of their love for money? Have all of us, to some degree, erred from the faith and erred from the truth of being content with food and raiment because we're not content, we're not satisfied. And the Scripture says here that when we covet after those things, that we have erred from the faith and pierced ourselves through with many sorrows. Now, while it's important for us to remember that we will never be completely satisfied in every way, though we can be, I believe when the Apostle Paul said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Do you think there are some people in this world that have learned to do that? And they are content with the material things that they own. I believe that there are some that are that way. Completely content. I'm talking about people who have virtually nothing. I see people in the nursing homes that as far as financial possessions, material possessions, they have nothing and they're content. Now that's a great blessing. Now, what about spiritual things? What about spiritual things? Do you think that your life can be full spiritually? Do you think that your life can be full spiritually? I know that we're full as far as material possessions go. We've got all we want. But can your life be full spiritually? In other words, I'm asking, can you really honestly be fully satisfied? Can you be content as far as the spiritual blessings you have, not talking about as far as your service yet, I'm talking about as far as the spiritual blessings that you have, can you really be content and satisfied with the spiritual blessings? Can you be satisfied spiritually? Can your soul be satisfied is what I'm asking you. Yes, the answer is yes. The Word of God says, be filled, in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the what? With the Spirit. Can I be filled with the Spirit? How many of you think you've ever been filled with the Spirit? Now, when you are filled with the Spirit, at that point in your life, are you completely satisfied? Do you not even think about the things of the world when you're full of the Spirit? While you're full of the Spirit, are you longing for the Spirit? No, you're not longing for anymore, because you can say like David did in the 23rd Psalm, he says, my cup does what? My cup runneth over. And I think that's true in a material way, but it's also true in a spiritual way. Brethren, I believe that our cups run over. I believe God has poured out so many blessings in a spiritual way in our lives that we just don't really realize how fully blessed we are. And we need to pray, God, help me to begin to be filled with the Spirit of God. Help me to realize that my cup does run over. Help me to realize that you have done exactly what you said you would do in your Word when you said that you would open up the windows of heaven and you would pour out so many blessings that would not be room enough to receive it. Do all of you realize that's what God has done for us in a natural and in a spiritual realm? I don't believe there's anybody on this earth blessed spiritually any more than the people in this room. Do you understand that tonight? Do you realize how wonderfully spiritually blessed we are? And yet sometimes we don't even realize how spiritually blessed we are. We need to praise the Lord for His spiritual blessings as well as His natural blessings in our lives. We need to thank the Lord. You know, Jesus says this. He says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Now, when you're filled, are you satisfied? Are you content? Can you be filled with spiritual blessings so that you can honestly, truthfully say, I am satisfied right now. Not satisfied. Now listen, I think that some of your minds are going to, well, you're not supposed to be satisfied with your service to God. We're going to get there in just a minute. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about you being satisfied with your service to God. I'm asking, are you satisfied with the spiritual blessings? Are there times that your soul is completely satisfied because of the outpouring of the Spirit of God? Are there times that your soul is satisfied? It ought to be. And we need to pray that God will help us to realize, God, I don't know but what God has not blessed us more spiritually than He even has in a natural way. I think those of us in this building, I think that God has blessed all of us in this building in a material and a natural way. But I honestly believe that God has given us more spiritual blessings than He has natural blessings. I'm not minimizing the natural blessings. Brethren, I think we're rich as far as the rest of the world is concerned. But I think that God has just poured out His spiritual blessings in our lives. And we need to pray, God, help me to realize how full we are, how much You have filled us with Your spiritual blessings while we live in this world. We don't know what spiritual poverty is. We don't know what it is. Brethren, I get calls almost every week from people who are in churches that those people are starving to death. I get calls from people that are weeping and crying and saying, we don't have anybody that we can call. There are so many churches today that do not have a pastor. Did you know that? There are so many churches today that even that do have pastors, but the preachers cannot preach the Word of God. There are so many churches that the Spirit of God is not being manifest in. Did you know that's true? Yeah. There are so many churches that the Spirit of God is not being manifest in. And there are dear children of God in every one of those churches.
That's right.
There are dear children of God. And those dear children of God, they need your prayers. Yeah. And I just don't think we realize how good God is to us here at the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. Yeah. God is good to us. And we need to pray, God, help me to realize how good You are to us, not just in the natural realm, but in the spiritual realm. Now, should we be satisfied and content with the material possessions we own? Should we be satisfied with that? Should we be satisfied and content with the spiritual blessings that God has poured out in our lives? Yes. Now my question is, should you be satisfied with your service to God? If you are ever satisfied with your service to God, then you are completely in error. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to see that there is a way that we are to never be satisfied. And my concern is that sometimes we're satisfied in areas we ought not to be satisfied in, and we are not satisfied in areas we ought to be satisfied in. In Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul was a great man of God. He talks about what all he had accomplished in his life in the first several verses of Philippians chapter 3. And then in verse 7, he begins to talk about, now, even though I had all these things and I had accomplished so much, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. And he talks about all of his pedigree and what all he had attained. He says, I counted all but dung so that I can win Christ. And then he begins in verse 7 to talk about the things that he gave up. I want you to come down to verse 11 for the sake of time. He talks about he gave up all these things and he says, I'm striving for something. In verse 11, Philippians 3, verse 11, he says, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now I want you to think about that. What does Paul mean when he says, I'm trying if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead? What do you think he's talking about? I'll tell you what I think he's talking about. Brethren, when these bodies are raised from the dead and conformed to the image of the Son of God, they're going to be absolutely perfect. Isn't that true? And I think the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm trying to live if I might by any means someday live in such a way that I am absolutely perfect. I think he was striving for that. As you come on down in these verses, he talks about how he has reached a goal and he has reached a level of perfection, but he says, I still have not reached absolute perfection. My question to you tonight is, do you think the Apostle Paul, as long as he lived in this earth, do you think the Apostle Paul was ever satisfied with his service to God. Do you think Paul ever reached a point where he said, now I can retire from serving God? Do you think the Apostle Paul ever reached a point where he felt like, I've done everything God would have me to do? I don't believe he did. I believe the Apostle Paul just kept on working, kept on striving, kept on laboring. He says, I press toward, come down to verse 14. Verse 14, he says, I press toward the mark. Was he still pressing on? One of the songs, didn't we sing Higher Ground? What was the song? Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. And that songwriter says, new heights I'm gaining every day. I'll tell you, I don't know how old that songwriter was, but I know that that songwriter had an honorable goal in his life. He says, new heights I'm gaining every day. Was that man working and laboring? Do you think that man was ever satisfied with his service to God? Was he satisfied with the blessings he had in his life? Was he satisfied with the natural blessings? Was he satisfied with the spiritual blessings he had? I believe that he was, but he was not satisfied with his service to God. And I would ask all of you to pray that God will help us, that we would be satisfied with the material blessings, and that we would be satisfied with the spiritual blessings God poured out in our lives, but that God will help us to never be satisfied and stop being satisfied with our level of spiritual growth and maturity. Do you think that sometimes we get satisfied with our spiritual growth and maturity? Think that maybe we've reached that level that God is all right with where we are? At least we're all right with where we are, but we need to keep pressing on the upward way. We need to gain new heights every day. And the Apostle Paul is talking about that in verses 14 and 15. Now, let me say one thing in closing. In fact, I want to ask you to turn to this verse of Scripture. Did you know that in this world you'll never, never be completely satisfied? In this world, in this life, you will never be completely satisfied in every way. Because you can never be satisfied with your service to God. But I want you to know there's going to come a day that you're going to be completely, 100%, perfectly satisfied. Look in your Bibles at Psalm 17. Look in your Bibles, please, in closing at Psalm 17. I want you to listen to verse 15. This will be the last verse that we read, but I want every one of you to please remember this verse. In Psalm 17, verse 15, David talks about there's going to come a time that he was going to be satisfied. In Psalm 17, and verse 15, David says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. What did this morning we talk about? We talked about looking at the face of God. We talked about looking at Jesus. We talked about beholding the face of Jesus, and that we're changed when we behold the face of Jesus. Now, then the last thing we looked at this morning is, one day we're going to behold the face of Jesus face to face. We're going to be made absolutely perfect. Well, that's what David's talking about here. He says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Now listen, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Now what do you think he means there when he says, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness? What do you think he's talking about? Talking about the resurrection, the final resurrection when he's raised from the dead and he sees Jesus face to face. He says, I shall be satisfied. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness.